Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 10, Divisions of the Creation, text number 13. Yate danim tatagrecha. Prakritim swam avashtabhya visvijami puna punaha. Puna punaha. That means again and again. Bhutagramam imam kritsnam. Avasham prakriter vasat. The whole cosmic order is under me. Under my will, it is automatically manifested again and again. Puna punaha. And under my will, it is annihilated at the end. So, there is a schedule. And that schedule is, here it's stated, Prabhupada says, perpetual. Perpetual manifestation, maintenance and annihilation. Under Krishna's order, the material creation is manifest, stays for a while, then withdrawn. Prabhupada gives an example of the spider. Right? Why does he use the example of a spider? What is the characteristic of a spider that is similar to this manifestation, maintenance, and then withdrawal? Was that? Yeah. Spider can manifest its web and then withdraw it or pull it back inside itself. So, similarly, Karanandakashai Vishnu or Mahavishnu manifests through his breathing the material creations or the material universes are come out through the pores of his skin, which kind of gives you an indication of how big he is, right? The universe is huge, right? And how, you know, if you look at your skin, how big are the holes in your skin? The pores. You can't even see them. Right? So, how huge is Mahavishnu that the material creation, the different universes are able to manifest? Of course, they come out in seed form. And they expand. And it says here, automatically. This all happens automatically. He doesn't have to think about it. It manifests through his different shaktis or potencies, his different powers. So this is a perpetual cycle. Just as our breathing is perpetual, in and out, in and out, in and out. all designed to really to fulfill the desires of the living entities who are caught up by the desire to be separate from Krishna and to want to enjoy in their own realm, if you like, which is an illusion. And it's not possible for us to enjoy in a material creation. What enjoyment there is simply a cessation of the suffering, and we think that's the enjoyment. But whatever enjoyment there may be, it also suffers from this cycle, the perpetual cycle of happiness and distress. And a mixing, you know, a mixing of the two. But because the living entities are attracted to the Maya Shakti or the illusory potency of the material energy, it's Maya's service to create the illusion of enjoyment in the material world, and also to condition us. So we think that we are having fun when actually we're suffering, but we think we're actually having a good time. Right? This is the power of Maya, very powerful external energy. There's the Antaranga Shakti, the Tatashta Shakti, and the Bahiranga Shakti. Three energies, with basic energies within the creation. The spiritual energy, the material energy, and the living entity. And a living entity can either be under the influence of the material or under the influence of the spiritual. That's why the tatashta means marginal. So, this is a continual cycle. As it is created now, and as it will be destroyed later on, so also it existed in the past. And again will be created, maintained and destroyed in due course of time. So this is interesting because the material energy is always changing. And so therefore the forms that it creates are illusory. You know, one day I'm thinking I'm an Australian, I'm a male, I'm a devotee of sorts. So, but then that can easily be changed. Material energy can is described. Prabhupada describes it's like the, it works like the flotsam and jetsam on the ocean. You know, we're all brought together by the waves of the material energy, and so here we are on top of the wave, but when the wave goes down, then we're all scattered all over the place. And we may never see each other ever again. Right? So much for our relationships, you know. Mum and dad, brothers and sisters, friends and enemies. We'll all be brought together for just, you know, a few years and then all gone again. And we may never see each other again. Quite possible. Not possible, you know, totally plausible. It's the way the material energy works. So we come together and we think, oh, my mum, my dad. But then, chomp, gone. That's what, when Maharaj Chitraketu's son came to life and he said, you know, I'm your father, don't you remember me? He says, which father? Which father are you? I had so many fathers. So, you know, one day it appears we're one thing, the next day, poof, gone, and we're something else. So, you know, who are we then? The forms of the material creation appear real, but they're always changing. And so therefore, it's an illusion. It's not real. Although this is the mistake of the, as Prabhupada points here, of the Mayavadi philosophers. This is a mistake, to think that the material energy is not real. The material energy is real. Muchakunda put a question on Facebook yesterday. Yeah, how do we determine reality? But how do you determine reality? Well, I've never been able to find this poem again, but it was very, very funny. I wish I'd... Well, it was before the days of, you know, smartphones when you could take pictures of things. But there was a very funny poem in one of the kids' books at the Gurukul, right? And you know what its recommendation for determining reality was? You get a pair of bolt cutters. You know what bolt cutters are? They're for cutting, you know, large pieces of wire. Usually you can use them for cutting bolts, but they're often used for cutting reinforcing that you put into concrete. So anyway, what it suggests is you get a bolt cutter and then cut off your small toe. And you'll be able to know by the sound of your screaming that it's real. What do you reckon? Practical determination of what is real. So, it's illusion. Although, that's a good example, you know. It's a good example of the material energy. If we look at our little toe, well, don't look at your little toe probably, but let's take our thumb for example. How much pleasure can you get out of your thumb? Right? How much pleasure? Hardly any pleasure. But how much pain can be inflicted on the thumb? Think about it. You know, you get some pleasure eating a gulab or rasgulla. Of course, but that has to go into the mouth and ultimately to the stomach. But you know, when you think about it, this material body is designed to cause suffering. It is not designed to enjoy, practically speaking. Only when the suffering stops and we think, oh, wow, that's great. And yes, it is illusion. The different forms that we take, one day human being, the next day a demigod, the next day back down to the human species, and then, you know, if misused, then into the 8,400,000, 8 million species of life to suffer in ignorance as an animal, as an insect, as a reptile, as a fish, as a bird. So they're all illusory in the sense that they're temporary, but the material energy is real. and the suffering is real. Right? The suffering is real. So we are meant to understand the nature of this, of the process that's in, or the process that takes place. It's perpetual. Sometimes the material energy is manifest, it's maintained for some time, then it's all drawn back in again. It's not experienced, or it's not observable, but it's still there. The material energy always remains, and it's eternal. The forms it creates are not, but the energy, it's Krishna's energy. Daivihi esha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. Very difficult to overcome. But it's Krishna's energy, and because it's Krishna's energy, then it's eternal. It's just that it's manifest sometimes and then hidden on other occasions. And the forms it creates are just temporary. Illusory. But just because they're illusory and temporary doesn't mean that they're not real. And as a result of the different karmas that we performed, then we either enjoy or suffer our deserts. What we deserve. According to the law of karma, which is very difficult to understand. But this is a basic principle. You know, I was talking to and you know, we forget these things so easily. 82 years ago, there was a big earthquake in Nepal, which destroyed everything, or a lot of things. Right? Now there's an earthquake the other day, and everybody goes, "Oh, shock, horror, what a surprise." Right? Not a surprise. This is normal. Right? That the material energy punishes us is normal. Why should anybody be surprised? It's just that we have this amnesia. We forget. This is the power of Maya. We forget. We forget who we are. You know, we shouldn't be surprised that there's earthquakes. You know, I saw an article the other day, glimpsed at it. It flashed by. This young girl was 13 or so, and in America, and they were having a birthday party, and they were just about to cut the cake, right? And then this stool came out of the sky, right? Right? We read things in the Bhagavatam, we think, ooh, that's pretty far out. But it destroyed the birthday cake. They couldn't cut the birthday cake and eat it because it had stool on it. Right? Or just the other day, you know, there was an article also went by how in, I can't remember the city it was, in Australia, just last week, there was a rain of spiders. Right, the whole city was covered with spiders falling out of the sky. Right? What's that? You'll be able to Google it. You'll find it. Google Dave. Answer all of your questions. Right? You'll find it. So, we shouldn't be surprised. that we are suffering in the material world. That's the price that we pay for coming into the material creation and trying to enjoy separately from Krishna. Instead of enjoyment, we get suffering. Right? What's the prime? What are the four prime causes of suffering? Yes, birth, death, old age, and disease. Yep, guaranteed. Right, but if we look at the spiritual world, they're conspicuous by their absence. That's where we really enjoy. It's in the spiritual realm, situated in our original position. Our original spiritual position is in the spiritual world. Satchit Ananda Vigraha. You know, when we're chanting Hare Krishna, one of the reasons why we feel pleasure is because the Sankirtan elevates our consciousness into that realm of existence. And so we experience our Satchit Ananda form through the process of bhakti. Especially the Panchanga bhakti engagements, the association of the devotees, the Sankirtan, the worship of the deity, the hearing of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the, just the fact that we're residing in that place. That gives us relief from the material existence. And that is pleasurable, because our original, why we're pleasure, anandamaya bhyasat, we're pleasure seekers. That's our natural position to enjoy. Right? Who likes, there's nobody here who likes suffering. Right? Who likes suffering? Raise your hands. No masochists. So, our enjoying propensity is actually a natural part of our being. And it's manifest on that Satchit Ananda platform. And when we engage in devotional service, especially the Sankirtan, then that Satchit Ananda existence is easily, readily accessible for the pure-hearted devotees, which is why we enjoy. That's why we chant. That's why we dance when we're chanting. Right? When you're having a good time, what do you do? What do you do when you're having a good time?
Dance.
Yeah, jump up and down. Shout. Yoo-hoo! Right? When you get some realization of something and you know, you get it, yeah, clap your hands, jump up and down, go and talk to somebody. Have a guess what? You're not the body. Of course, you know, people in the mode of ignorance don't like to hear these things. Huh? What are you talking about? Huh? They don't have access. Unless they're very fortunate, they get the association of the devotees. This is why the mode of goodness is recommended. Although, even for a person in the mode of ignorance, anybody, there's actually no disqualification for being able to experience Krishna Prema. All we need to do is get the mercy of a devotee. Or in our case, in ISKCON, well, the mercy of the devotee is Srila Prabhupada. And the mercy of the devotees is to get the association of his followers. And then we can, even a person in the mode of ignorance, steeped in ignorance, can be elevated by that association. It is so powerful, especially the Sankirtan. But all of those items, the Panchanga Bhakti items of prema, are able to bless anyone, even if they don't have faith in the process, Rupa Goswami says in the Nectar of Devotion. So we need to understand and remember that the material creation is not meant for enjoyment. But if we want to enjoy, then the only real enjoyment is to elevate our consciousness to that Satchit Ananda platform. And that means then focusing on the items of bhakti that push our consciousness above the material and help us remain aloof, if you like, from the comings and goings of the material creation. Because Arjuna says in the Bhagavad Gita that you're not the body. And the next instruction is, Krishna says, you know, you're not the body. And then the next instruction is you have to tolerate what goes on in the material world. Right? You have to tolerate it. At least for this lifetime. Matraspa shastra kuntaya sitoshna sukadukadaha agama payano nityas tongs tatikchaspa bharata. So tatiksha, one has to be tolerant of the coming and going. The systematic activities of the time factor are perpetual. We can't stop them. So we'll be successful one day, we'll fail the next. Or put it this way, we'll have our ups and downs. You know, there'll be successes and there'll be obstacles to success to overcome. Some of them won't be so easy to overcome, but one has to develop this consciousness, well, basically Krishna consciousness, so that one can remain aloof from all of these changes. Now, and mind you, that doesn't mean, you know, if somebody's suffering, they say, oh, it's okay, you know, just tolerate it. You know, we also need to be a little sympathetic. But at the same time, practical. Yes, we do have to tolerate the comings and goings of material existence. Because one of the problems is, you know, if we become too aloof, then we become impersonal also. Right? And, you know, somebody's suffering and we say, ah, don't worry about it, you're not the body. Right? But Prabhupada, the Padma Purana quotes, you know, if we are subject to lamentation because we've lost something, or if we're subject to, you know, exhilaration because we gained something, then the possibility of Krishna appearing within the heart is it's not possible. Because, you know, we'll be, oh yeah, everything's great, based on our material circumstances. And then when we lose it, oh no, everything's, you know, no good. Just like, it's interesting, Budhimanta's son, Part, who's the youngest, he just got his year 12 results back and he got 95%. So everybody's saying, joy, what a good, you know, rah, 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 blah, 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 blah. But then he said to me, he said, we shouldn't get carried away. I was chatting with him last night on the computer. But then he said to me, he said, it's actually Krishna's mercy. And he said, we should never forget the ultimate goal of life, which I thought was pretty good coming from an 18-year-old. Because everybody's praising and glorifying him and telling him what a good fellow he is. Especially his dad. His dad is over the moon, you know. You're the most educated member of our family. Right? But he's saying, no, actually it's Krishna's mercy. So, you know, I'm a success, Krishna's mercy. I'm a failure, Krishna's mercy also. But we have the process, we have the, you know, the devotional practice elevates us above this perpetual change. So we're then fixed in, you know, this is why the devotees are described as dhira, right? Dhira. They're sober because their consciousness is above all of this coming and going. That's the idea. That's our goal. We have to tolerate this. We have to understand it's perpetual. Suffering is perpetual. Enjoyment is perpetual in the material world. It's up. It's a flow or a cycle. It just keeps on going around. Samsara. Right? But the devotees are able to rise above that samsara because they have the process of devotional service, bhakti, sadhana bhakti. And when we engage in sadhana bhakti, anyabhilashita shunyam, without coverings of material motivation, this is the important point. And not easy to not. One can, should be considered very, very, very fortunate if one can perform devotional service without any motivation. Right? Most of us, we're most of the time, stuck in this material mentality. And even in the process of devotional service, we're thinking, oh, am I going to enjoy this? Or is it going to be too hard? This is our material mentality. But when we engage in the devotional practices and devotional service without any motivation, then our consciousness will rise above the comings and goings of material existence. Of course, mind you, we're also concerned about success and failure on Krishna's behalf. That's not bad. But even then, you know, we can't expect just because we're Krishna's devotees then all of a sudden everything's going to go perfect. Krishna will look after us, but there still will be, you know, it's the material world. And Krishna tells us, you know, what is it? Dukkha dosha anudarshanam, right? We see following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. And what do they tell us? What do they tell us? Material world is faulty. Dosha. And because of its faultiness, then along will come dukkha, unhappiness. But we have to remain happy. Bit of a challenge, really, when you think about it. A devotee is happy. Despite, because it's very, you know, it's very easy to become depressed when you're being told all the time the material world is a place of suffering. You can never be happy here. Right? So it's kind of like, ooh. You know, why me? Well, why everybody? Well, I want to enjoy it. Because our natural propensity is to enjoy it. But we find that we discover, oh, I'm in a place where I can't enjoy it. But we can enjoy it, actually. We can enjoy it, but just not on the material platform. We have to learn how to enjoy on the spiritual platform. That means to rise above the current, the ebb and flow of happiness and distress based on the material platform, and rise up to the platform of Satchit Ananda. Because that's our natural position, is to actually enjoy without any need for material supports. So that's our, you know, that comes as a natural consequence of Krishna consciousness. Because that's our, you know, when we uncover our original identity, then automatically we become happy. That's what we experience when we're chanting Hare Krishna. If we're chanting without you know, in the clearing or in the pure stage of chanting, then we can get a glimpse of that perfection. And so therefore the emphasis on our sadhana or our bhajan. And when we're chanting on the pure platform, or at least if we're, you know, ordinarily offensive, right? Our mentality is offensive. Then we need to be on the clearing stage to get rid of that competitive spirit that we have in wanting to be as good as, or if not better than, Krishna. We need to then be on the clearing stage, removing the offensive mentality. And then once we remove that offensive mentality and can chant on the pure stage, then we can connect very quickly to that spiritual identity. That's what we want to do. That's what we're doing at the moment when we're chanting Hare Krishna. Not, you know, lamenting, oh Krishna, why couldn't I have this? Why couldn't I have that? Why? Right? But rather, Krishna, engage me in your service, so then I'll be on the spiritual platform, and you know, I won't... not that we don't experience or we don't see these things, but I'll be able to transcend it. Although it does mention in the Bhagavad Gita that a devotee doesn't mind whether there's enlightenment or not. Right? There's a pure devotee. Whether he's enlightened or not, he still remains fixed and steady. This is a pure, detached platform. So when we're able to chant properly on that, either the clearing or actually it's mentioned that you can actually be, what is it, Namabhas, right? And you can still experience liberation. The chanting of Hare Krishna is so potent. But you know, why just settle for that? Why not go to prema, which is accessible immediately for us when we're chanting Hare Krishna? Then we're able to, we're able to see the material world for what it is, and then just tolerate it, and be happy. Right? Okay, so I might finish here. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Jai Jagannath. What about in the case of devotees? What, you think we're special? We return to the spiritual world and we see Mahatma Prabhu. How will you recognize him? How will you know? He won't have that form that he's got now. How will we know? Does it matter? What do you reckon? Well, but we show gratitude to all devotees, don't we? There are devotees that I've known for many years who I only see them once or twice in a couple of years, but it's kind of like you just pick up from where you left off in your relationship. So when we get to the spiritual world, we probably won't. We won't know, oh, I remember when we were in a brahmachari ashram together. Right? Because you've forgotten all about that. You're now in your spiritual position. And in the spiritual world, everybody is affectionate, naturally affectionate to each other, as we should be now. Right? So I don't know.
So how do
It's a good question. Do you think Prabhupada sits on a Vyasa-san like that in the spiritual world? What do you reckon? Or is he some other eternal associate of Krishna, engaging in his pastimes with Krishna in that eternal form? See, you know, even the very, very great, the very, very exalted devotees, I guess in the spiritual world, everybody's doing extraordinary things, but I don't know. I can't answer that question, actually. But our philosophy tells us, you know, we're going to come together and we'll be gone. Right? Then when we get to the spiritual world, we'll be happy to associate whoever's there. Right? We won't be thinking, I wonder where Gopa Vrindesh is. Can't see him. Where is he? But he might be just sitting next to you and you don't know because he's not in his, you know, Melbourne pastimes form. He's in his spiritual pastimes form. Right? So we don't... That sense, everything is illusory. Right? But what are the relationships? The relationships that we share here are the relationships based on service basically based on service, not based on, you know, externals. Although sometimes it is also based on external, but that's dovetailed into the purifying practice of devotional service by following the principles of Daivi Vanashram and Sadhana Bhakti. Right? So we may come together, you know, there will be buddies in the ashram or even husband and wife or partners in doing some preaching activity or whatever, but the relationships that we share on the spiritual platform are those devotional activities. And of course everything becomes a devotional activity because we try to do it ultimately for the pleasure of Krishna. But how that relationship of service will manifest in the spiritual world could be entirely different. Because it's the principle of service, not the principle of what covering we've got at the moment. So when we come together to do service, certainly in the spiritual world, then it's all favourable. Huh? So who knows what form you'll have? You could be a seat or a chair, and everybody will come and sit on you, right? And you'll be feeling ecstasy. Joy, all the devotees are sitting on me. Krishna's sitting on me. Huh? And that's a neutral, you know, that's a shanta rasa. But it's still ecstatic, right? For the personality who performs that role. Any other comment? Anybody got any thoughts on that point? Question. Having faults. Yes, those faults are designed to remind us that we're in the wrong place. And that even though it's complete in and of itself, it's incomplete or missing something when we don't have that connection with Krishna. And so the completeness or the perfection of the material world is that it pricks us. Or sometimes it just, you know, smashes us. And then we have to, and it reminds us, actually it's not me, it's Krishna. You know, because we're blithely, you know, just carrying on, doing our own thing, thinking, you know, I'm the centre of the universe and everything's revolving around me. And then all of a sudden, we go, ooh. What was that? And Maya is Krishna's agent, servant, and her responsibility is to wake us up. So in that sense, it's complete, because that's there to remind us that actually Krishna is the centre. Otherwise, if we, you know, if we just continue, and we can, Prabhupada says, if you want, you can stay in the material world forever and completely ignore Krishna all of the time. But you'll be smashed. Right? And that's meant for us, you know, because people say, oh, what a bad things happen to good people. Right? But the answer is, you're not good people. Bad things don't happen to good people. That's right. And because bad things are happening to you, what does that mean? You are not a good people. Right? You're just puffed up. You think you're good, but you're not. Right? So humility, basically. Isn't it? Humility. We have to learn humility in the material creation. Because it smashes us all of the time and we think, why me? Whereas the devotee thinks, oh, actually, I'm so fortunate. If I really got what I deserved, I'd be suffering all of the time. But Krishna's so kind. He only just gives me a little bit. That's the mood of a devotee. You know, I'm just getting a token of what I deserve. So, whilst Krishna is not, you know, in the ninth chapter, Krishna says, you know, that I'm not in the material creation. It's in me, but I'm not in it. Right? So, for the materialists, for the impersonalists, you know, they can't see Krishna within the creation. But actually, he's there. And it's described that the devotees are able to see Krishna within the material creation. Even within the setbacks, they see, oh, that's Krishna's plan for me. And because they're on the, you know, close to transcendental or on the transcendental platform, then they accept that setback as Krishna's arrangement, and they see Krishna's presence within everything. But a materialistic person generally doesn't see it, and until they become purified. And Prabhupada does mention that the accumulated karma, and the reactions that we experience as a result of our vikarma, creates impressions on samskaras on the consciousness of the living entity. So at some point, we will become dissatisfied with that. We'll be seeking some alternative. You know, not everybody's like that. A lot of people are determined. We're going to enjoy the material world, come hell or high water. But a devotee is fortunate because they realise, this is not going to work. Right, and so they come to the level of, you know, at least jnana, where they realise dukkha dosha anudarshanam. Now, Because there is some pleasure, the Prabhupada makes this point, because there is some pleasure in the material world, that's an indication that actually there is real pleasure. There is such a thing as real pleasure, but it's not here. It's in the spiritual realm. Right? So, yes, it's perfect in the sense that Krishna is there, but it takes us a little bit of time to see him. And in the meantime, we'll get, you know, prodded and pushed and punched and poked and squashed and... And then we'll be saying, why me? I'm innocent. Huh? Then one day we'll wake up and realise, well, maybe I'm not as innocent as I thought I was. All right, let's finish here. Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai.